Welcome to Clarity Fun Podcast. This is episode 8. I'm Dr. Owen Anderson, and I'm here with Greg Malloy. Hi, Greg.
Hello again.
And we're continuing in our discussion about common ground, and we're using the Logos paper number 2. And we're looking at the third point there. There's 4 points under common ground, but the first point on the handout is about common ground. So then the second point under it, we've covered reason. Now we're on to integrity, which is point 3. And we're going to be thinking about, why do we need to have integrity? Why is that important? And common ground in reason requires a commitment to reason. This is the opening point of getting into why we need integrity. Because if we're going to have any kind of discussion, if we're going to think, we have to use reason. And if we're going to think together as having a discussion, we'd have to use reason. And so before we get into a discussion, it'd be very useful to know if everyone is committed to reason. Because if they're not, we're going to end up in foolish disputes that waste everyone's time and really harm everyone involved in the sense of dehumanizing them.
Yeah. I'd want to know that. And if it comes out later that they weren't committed to reason, I say, why don't you tell me that?
Yeah.
Just wasting my time.
Yeah. You get an hour or two of your day spent and you think you're going to be able to make progress. You get to some kind of climactic contradiction and the person says, well, what's wrong with believing contradictions?
Yeah. They just go, That's why I always ban the W word in my classroom. Did I ever tell you about the W word? I'll whisper it. Whatever. All right. I'm not going to say it again, right? Why do I ban that word? Because it's like the exact opposite. It's the essence of not caring and not having a concern for it. You just say, you show someone a clear contradiction, and they just go, meh.
Yeah, either way.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, in other words, I don't care about anything you just said. I'm not committed to being consistent. I have zero interest in this at all.
Yeah. So I think there's an intuitive sense in which we do want consistency. We have a concern for consistency. And what I mean is there are cases where someone will say whatever. But as you get to know that person, you kind of ask them probing questions about themselves, you'll find what does matter to them. Yeah. And if they were found to be inconsistent on that, they wouldn't say, I don't care anymore. Right. They would say, no, nah. And really, I think many of our insults, are some version of calling someone inconsistent.
Yeah.
Something like saying someone is an idiot or something like that. And it's insulting because you're basically saying you're not living up to human nature.
Yeah. Try calling someone a hypocrite.
Yeah.
And see how they respond to that.
Yeah, no one ever says, because that's the opposite of integrity, right? The opposite of having integrity is to be a hypocrite. And no one ever says, when I grew up, I want to be a hypocrite, right? Of all the different professions, that's not one that anyone selects. And there's a reason for that, because we have that sense that, no, to be a human is to use reason, to be consistent, to be committed to reason. And if we're not, then we lack integrity. And that's what's interesting. I think anywhere you find humans congregating, and you'll see them chatting about something, they're involved in knowledge assertions. Hmm. And so it might be about lots of different topics. If you go to Cheers, they might be talking about the Red Sox. And if you go into Cheers and you tell Norm that he doesn't know anything about the Red Sox, he'll be deeply offended. Mm. And it's not because he's an intellectual, it's not because he's a philosopher, but it's because as a human, he's professing to know things about what he thinks is the most important topic. And that'll be true whatever the topic turns out to be, Pokemon card collecting or philosophy, right? Across the spectrum, if you tell someone you don't know what you're talking about, that's taken as an insult.
Right. I think this is an important point because I think people might confuse integrity and that they do have a concern for it, just kind of a natural concern for it. They confuse that with being interested in what you particularly want to talk about.
Yeah.
So it may not be that they don't recognize a lack of consistency when they talk about the ontological argument for God's existence or something. But if you bring up their favorite issue.
Right.
Political issue, sports issue, whatever, then they will, oh, no, I have arguments. I have good reasons for thinking that.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. That's what I was saying is it may not be philosophy in some academic sense, but it will be some topic that they care about, that they're interested in, and they're professing to know. And there's an implicit sense in which we all claim to know. And when that's challenged, it's a challenge to our humanity. And we'll take that personally. Say, no, I do know these things. Right. And you and I talked about that in another podcast about apologetics as defending our beliefs. We'll be pushed to defend our beliefs to show that we really do know.
Yeah. And I think we brought up before, too, and I think in maybe that same podcast, how people, they want to declare, people like to speak about things, they like to, people have gathered around them. This is what happened in the apology, right? This is why Socrates says that they hated him, because he would, they like to have people gather around them and share their, what they call knowledge, and he would expose that they don't have knowledge.
Yeah.
And then he hated that. And I've had that experience too. Maybe you can tell me if you've had this, where I hear people talk and rattle on about some particular issue, and then I maybe ask one fairly basic question that addresses a presupposition, and all of a sudden they kind of get very quiet, and all of a sudden they start to becoming very humble. Like, well, I don't really know about this. Yeah. And it's like, well, I just heard you rail for 2 hours about that. Really? Yeah. Like, now you're saying you don't know?
Yeah, they'll back up to protect themselves and say, be ambiguous or hedge their bets.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I've been in the same situation where you'll ask them a question, you'll expose they don't know, and they don't thank you for it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you expect to be thanked for it?
Oh, yes.
But instead, they hate you.
Yeah.
Right? That's what Socrates said he encountered. So the concern for consistency is unavoidable in both a logical and an existential sense. A logical sense in that you can use a reductio ad absurdum argument to show that denying consistency leads to an impossibility. But also existentially, which means in our lived experience, it's self-referentially absurd. People present themselves and act as if they have integrity. And any relationship they have, any discussion they have, any job they have, any other commitment they have would break down without it.
Yeah, and we mentioned this self-referential absurdity in the last podcast on reason. Maybe it might be worthwhile kind of explicating that a little bit and say, explain maybe by example. What we mean by that, self-referential absurdity is anything that can be uttered or stated that contradicts its very self in the act of doing it. So for example, if I say, oh, and I can't say any words in English.
Yeah.
I just contradicted myself by what I was doing, right?
Or I'm not thinking. Yeah, or I'm not talking.
Exactly. I don't think, or I'm not sure I use the laws of thought, or maybe more declarative, I don't use the laws of thought.
Yeah.
And sometimes those examples are kind of like, oh yes, those are kind of silly and obvious. But I think that sometimes there's a whole host of SRAs that are, you know, I have a special power, like the sixth sense, but instead of dead people, I see SRAs.
Yeah.
I see them everywhere.
Yeah.
I see people saying things like, all knowledge comes through the senses.
Yeah.
But they didn't get that through a sense.
Yeah.
Right. They don't realize it's absurd. Or they say things like this.
That's kind of self-contradiction.
Yeah. They're affirming something that if true would deny the very position they're asserting.
Yeah.
Or here's another common one in the political and ethical realm. How dare you tell other people what to think?
Yeah.
You should never tell someone else what to think. Stop judging them.
I heard someone saying that the other day. I was in the store and they were on their cell phone talking very loudly. So I wasn't snooping, but I couldn't help but be bombarded with their conversation. They were complaining about, I guess, a spouse who they thought was no longer open-minded. And they were telling their friend on the phone how their spouse should be more open-minded like they are. And they're continuing to try to lecture their spouse day after day. Just be more like them.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that same thing where it's like, well, this person doesn't see kind of the absurdity of what they're right. saying about this other person. The very thing they don't like is what they're doing. So that's very close to the definition of hypocrisy.
Right. And that's why I think this is so important, because some people might kind of get a little lost in this. Say, well, this sounds very abstract. And I'm not really sure, you know, these SRAs and this talk about this stuff, you know, how applicable, where I really see this. So there's only these examples of where these things come up all the time.
Yeah.
And so this is how you address this stuff that maybe you've recognized there's something off with what that person's saying. And now you're really finding out what it is.
Yeah. How about this one? Because I've had this one too in debates. Someone will say, nothing's clear.
Mm.
And that would, of course, include their own sentence, which is itself then not clear. Or, I don't know what clear means.
Yeah.
So these are examples of self-referential absurdity, and trying to avoid integrity is like that. Now, I think, again, integrity is something people feel deeply, so usually abandoning integrity comes down the road in a kind of attempt to protect yourself from something you think is even worse.
Oh, yeah.
But presenting ourselves when we first meet others, like imagine that you are first introduced to somebody, a friend introduces you to one of their friends, and the first thing you say after giving your name is, you don't have integrity, right? I don't know that anybody would be okay with that. So this is something that people want to present themselves as having, or it's directly connected to knowing. If you were to say to them, you don't know anything, right? Yeah. People would be immediately insulted. Right? Right. No, I'm a human. I know some things.
Or if you act, people assume that others are going to treat them as if they care about consistency and integrity and knowing.
Yeah.
Like if you tell me something and I act surprised that you've thought about it, like, "Ooh, I can't believe you've actually put thought into that."
Yeah.
Like, that's not a compliment. That's an insult. Right. You're like, yeah. "What do you mean? You should be assuming I care about this kind of stuff."
Yeah. Well, sometimes I say that in class. If a student raises questions about integrity, I'll say, "You don't happen to have integrity, but I don't either." And the first place that will come out is in my grading process. So although you maybe got great grades on quizzes and tests that equal an A, I'm not bound to be consistent with that math, and I'm going to give you an F. And no one would accept that. They expect me to have integrity when it comes to those things. Mm-hmm. So integrity is the opposite of hypocrisy. And we want to have, point two under integrity, a concern for consistency in our thinking, in our words, in our deeds. And that's what integrity is. I mean, I think that's where we probably hear it the most is, I'm a man of integrity. I keep my word.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I do what I say I'm going to do.
Right. And we are immediately bothered when people don't do that.
Yeah.
And we can see a lack of integrity, yeah. right? Oh, I'm going to pick you up at the library at 7 o'clock and at 7:30 I don't show up.
Yeah.
I do that over and over again. You say, yeah. oh, this guy's a flake.
And you pull up an hour and a half later and you're upset. And you say, why are you upset?
Yeah. What's the big deal?
Yeah. What's the problem? So you someone hinted at this before, but here it points out that integrity is not the same as sincerity. So sincerity is more like kind of honestly sharing how you currently feel. So someone could say, I'm just being sincere. But how we currently feel can and does change quite often. And it's due to things which I may or may not be culpable for. Right. I might feel a certain way for reasons I shouldn't feel. So integrity is not the same as simply acting on how you currently feel.
Yeah, because this comes out a lot. I think for a lot of people, this is just sufficient for how you should act with another person. They say, well, I'm just being authentic.
Right, yeah.
Or someone's like
that's a good one, authentic.
Yeah, someone's just like a real jerk.
Yeah.
And other people might praise them and say, well, at least they're just real and authentic.
Yeah, that's
and
like, just who I am.
Yeah, as if that's, well, in one sense, they're getting at something where you're not putting on a front, but that's not good if your real self is a jerk.
Yeah.
It's like, that should be like, that's like a minimal thing, like you be real yourself.
It's almost like taken as a given.
Yeah.
I am that way as opposed to, and the next step is changing that. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
As opposed to, I am that way and you just need to accept that.
Right.
So it's confusing a deep feeling with knowledge. And it tends to use words without cognitive meaning. And we haven't brought that up before, but when we're talking about meaning here, we're talking about cognitive meaning as opposed to a kind of feeling or deep impression. And yeah. cognitive meaning is connected to beliefs, like God is real. As opposed to someone saying, I went outside and looked at the stars and I got this feeling that I'm one with the universe. So that feeling is not the same as the belief, I'm one with the universe. Those are two separate things. And we're looking at, when we talk about meaning here, we're talking about that cognitive meaning. And that's what integrity is about, not simply about being true to myself in terms of how I currently feel, because it could turn out that how you currently feel is very dangerous for you.
Right.
And you need to rethink that.
Yes, and seriously, it's just like a self-report.
Yeah.
It's just a true self-report, but that's not sufficient for knowledge. You could be sincere and sincerely wrong, and there's sincere people on different sides. So this is what I challenge people with when they come to my door or however I encounter them in my life and they want to engage me with, conversion, let's say, to their worldview.
Yeah.
And I say, okay, well, why should I do that? And they might express something like this, how sincere they are in their beliefs. And I say, well, look, I have no doubt that you are, but these people down the road are sincere too. And they believe something totally different.
Yeah.
So whose sincerity do I go with?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we're looking at integrity, which is a concern for consistency. And it's in contrast to hypocrisy, where you have a lack of concern for consistency. And that's just a universally pejorative term. I've read a lot of literature, history. I haven't found a place where that's a compliment.
Yeah.
Some people might be, if you're deceptive at kind of stealing, they might kind of admire that. Like, wow, you're really good at that. But to be an actual hypocrite is just a negative thing.
Right.
And what hypocrisy does is it gives the appearance only in place of reality. So you give the appearance of, unfortunately, it's especially connected to religion.
Yeah.
In some camps, hypocrisy and religion just mean the same thing.
Yeah. Or usually we hear people talk about religious leaders. That's the term that often comes out.
Yeah, hypocrites. Right. And so they'll say, and all religious leaders, as opposed to a particular type were being given that name. But all religious leaders are hypocrites. They give the appearance of piety and not the reality. And there's something to it in the sense that if you had integrity, you could show piety, which is a devotion or love of God. And so we'll come back to this, I think, in our discussion. What's required by integrity in something like piety? And why is it therefore so commonly considered hypocrisy and is perhaps connected to this thing that people claim to know God and they aren't able to show that they know God?
Well, interestingly too, as I was thinking back about, I'm thinking about some Victorian novels where the clergyman is kind of painted as he's the hypocrite. He's got a certain front. And I was like, well, why are these people getting labeled that? And I wonder if ironically in people like to point out other people's hypocrisy without identifying their own. And so interestingly, in doing so, in critiquing other people's views, maybe properly, you're seeing inconsistency in others, yet not self-examining and applying that to yourself, you're actually doing the very thing you're accusing others of doing.
Yeah.
You're not examining, you're professing one thing, like I profess to be a consistent person, and I'm showing that by pointing out inconsistency in others. I value consistency, and I'm gonna point that out by saying this person's a hypocrite, all the while not recognizing inconsistency in yourself.
Right. Yeah, I think so. And I think usually when they do have those characters, it's interesting to look at what they're getting called on, because usually it's something what we might call a fruit-level sin, which what I mean by that is like a clergyman who's stealing from the tithing plate.
Right? Like the Scarlet Letter.
Taking something like that, yeah. Some sexual sin or something. But behind that, what I would say more basic than that is claiming to know God and not actually having knowledge. Yeah. That's a worse kind of hypocrisy, and I think that might be what people are also feeling when they're being let down by religion, because religion's coming along, it's making all these big claims, and it doesn't have any knowledge. And so they feel like, look, if you had integrity, you'd either stop making these claims, or you'd be able to show them to be true, and you can't.
Right, and one thing we want to do is we want to not let those persons off the hook. We are going to hold them accountable. But what we want to do is we want to expand this and apply this and say this is a universal human thing, that integrity is a universal human need. And so hypocrisy is a universal human concern to look for in yourself. So I run across Christian hypocrites, Muslim hypocrites, you know, atheistic hypocrites, Buddhist hypocrites of any stripe. Because it's anyone who has an inconsistency in their beliefs whatsoever could be labeled a hypocrite. And particularly this comes out in the form of questioning. When I begin to question a person, I don't care if I'm talking to a Christian or an atheist, when I begin to ask questions and it's clear that they've not self-examined and they've got contradictions, that's when these ideas come out. We just want to be clear that this is something that we need to universally be examining for.
Right, yeah, for all of us. And what's going on with it in point four, with integrity, is that as we become more conscious and more consistent, our integrity is exposed. So what happens is to become more conscious means we become more aware of our own assumptions and the assumptions of others. And then because we're more aware of our assumptions, we can become more consistent. And that's a process. You can become more or less conscious, more or less consistent. And we can now add in an imperative or a moral claim. We should be more conscious and more consistent, or we should use reason to examine our basic beliefs, presuppositions for meaning. So we're making a moral claim there about what we ought to do. And I don't know if anyone would deny that formally. I mean, becoming more conscious, people pay money to do that, right?
Right.
Like, hey, come over here and I'll teach you, I'll elevate your consciousness. I'll take you to a higher level of consciousness. So those are positive terms formally, but we have to look at the content and see, are you actually becoming more conscious? And we're focusing on our basic beliefs,
right,
becoming aware of them. We maybe had been operating with them our whole life and we didn't know about them.
Yeah, and I think it might be a difference between what we're talking about is examining, identifying, at least minimally first identifying, and then examining basic beliefs. And this is distinct from maybe what we could call like a values clarification exercise or something like I remember doing that in school. Did you do that in school where you had the people in the boat and you had to decide who you were going to kick out of the boat? And then you were supposed to, I remember doing this in like eighth grade, and then you had to say who you did it and why. And then it just stopped, it ended. And I thought there was going to be more like, okay, and then here's what you should have done. And I was like, no.
I thought that same thing, and there's no answer of should. Like, I was expecting them to tell me, did I get it right or not?
Right,
and they never did.
The whole point was just to say what you would do in this situation and why. So one of those that comes from the title, it's values clarification. What did you clear on? And so there might be people who want to do something like that, where you might talk to someone who's helping you get in touch with what you think, but there's not really a concern to examine that. So that's one level. And I'm not even sure the first thing is often happening, because when I encounter people often about their worldviews and I have discussions about them, I often find that they're quite confused or kind of muddled in terms of what they think. And then when they express it, and you know, you ask questions and what's coming out is kind of muddled, they sort of identify it, and then they think it's something you did to them. Like, oh, you tricked me with your philosopher's games and tricks.
Yeah.
Like I'm some sort of Jedi mind trick. It's like, no.
Well, that's what gets to the next point, which is about persuasion. Because people will sometimes say, we talked about this when we went over common ground and how we have these interminable arguments and we never come to agreement. And so they'll say, you're not going to change my mind, I'm not going to change your mind. Or they might notice that someone gets persuaded by something, but it's not actually rational proof. And in fact, that seems to be a staple of Madison Avenue, right? If you're a madman, you don't think about what's the most rational argument for the product. You'd give something that will persuade people to buy the product, which is often an emotional appeal of some kind. So you might use an informal fallacy, which could give the appearance of reason, but it's not actually reason. And what that does is it changes persuasion, it makes persuasion the standard. And there's lots of ways that people are persuaded, which are non-rational.
Right. And it undermines sound arguments too.
Yeah.
Because people might become cynical or skeptical of, why even use arguments at all? Because people don't change their mind based on that. And it's true that people might not come to believe by that, but it's not the case that no one has ever changed. And this gets back to our podcast on reason. Since reason is in all humans, when you are given a sound argument, you must respond to it somehow.
Yeah.
You're either going to change your view and come to see a new conclusion, or you're going to have to do something to retreat away from that sound argument.
Yeah.
You're going to have to run from it, hide from it.
You'll be moved one way or the other.
Yes, you will be moved.
That's the persuasion is not the same as conviction. Mm. And reason always convicts you.
Yes.
The question is, what will you do with it?
Right.
Whereas in persuasion, we want to make them do a certain thing.
Right.
Which is, I don't think we ultimately have power over when we give a rational argument. We're not going to make them do anything, but we will, if it is rational, we'll convict them. Mm. And sometimes what happens is, in judging hypocrisy or integrity, this could be done by irrelevant or false standards. So someone, we were talking earlier about someone who's a religious hypocrite, and someone might say all religious people are hypocrites, and they judge it by an irrelevant standard. And they use that appellation about all people.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to know what is actual knowledge and as opposed to the appearance of knowledge. And someone might claim to have insight, and they don't actually have insight. And because they don't have insight, they're making judgments about who is and isn't a hypocrite. And they're not really able to do that. So
Absolutely. That
gets us to the final point underneath integrity, which is self-examination. Before we go around labeling someone else as either a hypocrite or having integrity, we're really involved in examining our own lives and allowing the examination of your own beliefs by others. So I'm making knowledge claims. I think only God is eternal, and I'm okay with having that belief examined. And that will get me past just the appearance of integrity to the reality of integrity, and past the appearance of knowledge to actual knowledge.
Right.
But I find, and this is what Socrates got in trouble for, and I find the same thing with my students, which is that when you start to do a little bit of philosophy, you're very excited to then go out and use your new tools on mom and dad or your friends, and they'll very quickly say, where are you learning these things? Who's teaching you this stuff? And they'll say, oh, Dr. Anderson taught me these things, right? And I'll get an angry call. Why are you teaching my kid to examine my beliefs?
Yeah.
And so I have to tell them, look, that's not the first step, right? The first step is examining ourselves. Self-examination, do I have integrity? And the same thing happened to Socrates. He said that one of the reasons why he's in trouble is because the youths would observe him questioning one of the politicians or one of the authority members, and they enjoyed seeing him show they don't know. And so that's not an example. In contrast to that, he said the unexamined life is not worth living. We need to examine our own lives to see if we have integrity.
Absolutely. Yeah, and one of the sad things is when you see people critically examining others who are not willing to examine themselves, I find it very frustrating. And this is the very thing, we can kind of maybe end on this, is that this is the very thing that Jesus is getting at when he's talking about judgment. Even though it's used as a blanket statement, like don't make any judgments whatsoever about people. No, it's not that at all. He's saying, when you make judgments, don't do so hypocritically. What, and then he fleshes it out. What does it mean to do it hypocritically? But so without a self-examination first.
Yeah.
Because if you self-examine first, you're going to realize.
But by the very standard you're judging, you too will be judged.
Exactly. So here's maybe an interesting example where he's not rejecting judgment, qua judgment. He's rejecting a certain type of judgment, hypocritical judgment. Yet many who are using his words there, don't judge, are falling into the very sin that he's identifying there. They're just quickly making a judgment about someone else's and what they're doing. Yeah. Especially if let's say you make some statement about homosexuality or something, I step in and I say, oh, and don't judge, right?
Yeah.
In other words, who knows what's going on here? First of all, I'm doing an SRA. I'm telling you not to do something that you're doing to somebody else. I don't want, don't judge that person. I'm judging you in the process. And I'm citing a verse here that is actually not about not judging at all, but it's not doing the very thing I'm doing, not being hypocritical.
Yeah, we can look at that in some detail when we think about Jesus calling others hypocrites and what he was using that term to signify and why that got him into trouble. So we've been using kind of a philosophical example of Socrates, but I think Jesus is an even better example of that point. About what is it to be hypocrisy and why does that matter so much? Why was that what he charged them with? He could have said a lot of things and he picked that one. Mm-hmm. So this has all been about integrity, under common ground, why we need integrity as a necessary condition for thought and discussion. Thank you for joining us for episode 8 at Clarity Funds podcast, and we'll see you next time.